This episode is brought to you by The Sexton Single Malt Irish Whiskey, the best-selling Irish single malt in the U.S. The Sexton is an unexpected modern malt for the everyman, rich in hue, approachable in taste, and memorable in character. Learn more at thesexton.com.
Hey, this is Kat, Communications Director of HRN, here with a preview of Episode 2 of Meat and 3. This week, we're talking pork. We'll learn the best way to make a BLT.
I don't think I've ever successfully made a BLT just because I eat the bacon before any other part.
How pitmasters and restaurateurs are helping put small-scale pig farmers back to work in Alabama.
It's all about money. That's the bottom line.
What pork has to do with economics?
Farmers could be particularly affected by China's threat to levy its own tariffs on pork and soybeans.
And with government.
Basically, all of politics is pork at this point.
So tune in on Friday afternoon for your weekly serving of Meat and Three, and make sure you subscribe to be the first to know when new episodes air.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that sin. It's gonna get you some.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
And my name is Souther Teague.
Souther, how you doing, buddy?
I'm very well. Good to see you.
Excellent.
What's going on?
Great to see you, too.
It's a beautiful day in Brooklyn.
Well, no kidding.
Sun is shining. Pizzas are out on all the tables.
Yep. People are wearing next to nothing.
Yeah, less clothing out there today.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's beautiful. What have you been up to this week?
Man, I went upstate to my friend's spot. Some really good people that I've worked with in the past. Some people that you might know.
Well, I saw your Instagram stories. You were killing it.
Deer Mountain Inn up in the Catskills.
Looked gorgeous.
Man, had a great chef, Ryan Tate, Michelin star chef, amazing guy. Cooked about 100 courses for us. Normally, I don't like doing tasting menus. I'm into it because I want to see like a variety of things, but then usually whenever I get to the end of it, I'm like, all right, let's go find a Taco Bell or something, right. You know, and yeah. Or get a slice, you know, whatever. This one was really cool. It was really cool. Every dish was perfect. The wine pairings were great. My friend Bella, who used to be a manager at my bar at Grand Army, she is managing that shop up there. Brian, the GM of the whole place, like everyone was so fucking cool, man.
It was a gorgeous looking space. I saw it on your Instagram stories. What was the name of it again?
Deer Mountain Inn. You should definitely check it out sometime, man. Yeah, man. Really cool. Of course, now it's like getting into the wedding season, so it might be harder to book a spot up there, but really cool, man. I forget how much I love upstate and how easy it's like. It's
accessible.
It really is, but there's that mental block because it's not about getting there. It's about getting out of New York City.
Exactly.
You know, it takes a long time. And
it takes effort to escape New York.
Yeah, you might die doing it, but once you get out, it's a big, beautiful world out there, you know?
Yeah, man.
What about you?
Just been busy with Blue Quarter, the new bar, is doing really well. Starting to market the book, which will be out on August 28th. I'm just here for the drinks. And then was honored the other night at the Time Out Awards.
Yeah, congratulations,
man. Amore Margo took Best Specialty Bar.
Specialty Bar.
Yeah, pretty great. Really exciting to be there. Really happy to be among those people that were on the list as well. You know, some good friends on the same list as I was on. We all stood together and hoped for each other to win, and then I won. I like the Time Out Awards now. They're peer review, so it's not it's not a popularity contest. It's not a vote. There's a band of professionals that live here in New York City that make the decision, and I think it means more that way.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
Yeah, totally. Especially when you can't vote for yourself.
Exactly. Yeah, you can't vote for yourself, and you can't just beg your friends to vote for you. You know,
right?
It's totally. It's legitimate that way, I think.
Totally.
I we talked about it actually last week on the show. I take these forced rankings a little bit with a grain of salt. I think in a lot of ways they kind of tear away at the fabric of what we do. But to have my peers step up and say, like, your bar is the coolest bar for this reason, that's cool. I'm really happy to have it.
Yeah.
Proudly on display, a little trophy up there at Amore Margo. Running out of room on the trophy shelf.
Yeah, I was going to say.
There's three, so that's now we're out of room.
Yeah, exactly.
Best small bar. How about that? No room for that trophy either.
Big trophy, best small bar.
Yes, exactly. Well, in the studio today, we've got a good friend from the West Coast out here. We got a two-time author and one-time guest on the Seth Meyers show, Jeffrey Morgenthaler. Welcome to the studio.
Hi.
Hey, good, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
glad to have you, buddy.
You guys.
So you've written now two books. You also operate Pepe Le Moco as well as Clyde Common.
Yep.
Out in Portland, Oregon.
Very busy guy.
Yeah. Yeah. You're also, you've got a blog that's been going on for, we just talked about, 15 years now.
Yep. I got a blog. I got some house plants that I'm trying to keep alive.
It's a struggle.
It's a full time.
It's a struggle. I got a bunch of house plants.
Yeah, man.
I don't try to really keep them alive. I just replace them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I like the greenery. It's a lot of effort. So as they die, I replace.
I finally bought a house a few years ago. And
adulting.
So plants. That's a thing.
It's a thing.
That I should have in my yard and on my porch and stuff. So now I have plants, which is cool. That's,
outside is a big thing here in New York. We don't really have that.
Yeah, I don't have much of it, but I've got a little bit, just enough. You know,
I got nothing. But you're out here in New York because you're promoting your newest book, which is called Drinking Distilled, User's Manual.
Well, yes.
Yeah, promoting.
Promoting Drinking Distilled. Promoting drinking.
A boozer distilled.
Yes.
And it says Drinking Distilled on the cover, a user's manual. Talk to me about what that means to the reader.
You know, it was...
Or to you.
Let me try to explain it to myself. It was conceived of as a sort of how-to guide for proper drinking. Really cocktail-focused. I wanted to do a larger scope. I wanted to include beer and wine and just kind of do drinking in general, but they already had a book that was kind of competing with that. So we focused it on cocktails, which is admittedly my area of expertise anyway, you know, hard A.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not geared to your cocktail, hardcore craft cocktail bartenders. That's not who this book is for. This book is for regular people that want to maybe cut through the BS of, you know, there's a lot of weird information out there, you know, like,
well, yeah, and there's frankly a lot of pomp and circumstance to how you're supposed to drink.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's like
supposed to being the operative word.
And I find people get like sort of terrified. They're like, I don't want to order a whiskey the wrong way. And so I think having...
What do you reckon that is? What's the wrong way?
It's whatever that a-hole at the bar is admonishing people for.
You can say asshole,
for. Okay, yeah. That fucking asshole at the bar that...
Thank you.
I mean, you know the guy, the whiskey alpha, you know, in the bar who wants to criticize the way everybody's drinking. You know, who knows... who knows less about booze than I do. I thought I would step in and say, don't listen to that guy. Here's the real deal. You know, here's how you can take your whiskey any way you like.
Yeah.
Here's how I take my whiskey. Varies.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and the people that like.
There's no right. There's just right now.
Yeah. It's like the guy. It's the rare steak guy, you know, who wants to criticize everybody for
ordering their
steak.
Probably doesn't actually enjoy his steak.
Probably doesn't enjoy it. And hey, also, I've got news for you, guy. Not every single cut of beef is better rare.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So shut up.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're talking about.
You can also say shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up. Are you guys just encouraging me to swear?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Okay.
This is a podcast for bartenders.
Actually,
by bartenders.
We have some whiskey in this.
We're about to drink some whiskey right now.
Oh, are we?
How are we going to drink it? I think from a plastic cup.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I just get so sick of watching and hearing other people, you know, tell how they're supposed to consume the things that I'm handing out over the bar, like,
and the things that we love.
Yeah,
like, I don't care how you take your stuff, man. If I've got it, I'm giving it to you.
Yeah.
And that's also always been my rule. People are always like, well, you don't have vodka at your bar, you don't have to. And I'm like, yeah, I don't mind telling people no for something I don't have, but if I fucking have it, I'm fucking serving it.
Yeah, it's like,
Jesus Christ,
like, you're not forcing me to drink it your way. It's like, it's your thing, man. You can have it however you want it. Within the realm of possibilities, you know? But the, one of my good buddies...
There's definitely no wrong answer.
Exactly, man. Like, one of my good buddies, Brett McDonald, he works for Bean Suntory now. Back 4 years ago when I was under construction with Grand Army, I was working at one of my favorite bars, Extra Fancy.
Extra Fancy.
And he came in and he was working at, what's that bar, Inner Circle, the... Shuffle or the
skee ball
place.
It's God, I can't think of the name of it right now.
I think it's we'll Inner Circle, back. Right?
No,
that's not that. No, that's a bookstore.
That's definitely not it.
So the thing is, he would come in and he would order
Full Circle. There we go.
So,
sorry, I was going through the alphabet in my head.
Yeah. Inner Circle is a rum from Australia.
That's right.
That doesn't really exist ever. So he would come in and order a vodka Sprite, and I would, like, the first time he did it, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I thought he was fucking with me.
Right.
And then he's like, no, that's what I want. I'm like,
yeah, he drinks that all the time.
Done.
Vodka I'd honestly would rather make you a vodka Sprite than a Mezcal Vieux Carré. Honestly.
Yeah.
Gross.
100%. 100%. But yeah. However, if that's what you fucking want, yeah. I will make you a Mezcal Vieux Carré.
Yeah.
I don't care. If I've got the ingredients and I can do it, I will do it. Yeah, I don't even hesitate.
As long as you promise not to sit there and talk about it for half an hour.
Yeah,
yeah, and don't push it on the people around you.
Oh, Jesus. That's right. Like, what are you having? I'm having a Mezcal Vieux Carré. Have you ever had Mezcal? It's like tequila, but it's smoky.
Oh, gosh.
What is it about the Mezcal people now that need to announce to the entire bar that they're drinking Mezcal?
Also, I think...
Badge of honor.
A finer Mezcal pioneer, should not
they're
be
pioneers.
Smoky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like yeah,
but it's like the single malt guys in the '90s and like the vodka people, you know, just like I need to. I'm so proud of my order that I need to share it with the world.
I mean, it's some kind of crazy human nature that we have to be ahead of the curve in some way, and to, you know, we see it all the time at any bar. I certainly see it a lot at Amore Margo, where I have so much stuff on the back bar that most folks don't even recognize. If there's a guy or a girl in there who does recognize it, they're pointing it all out to their neighbors.
I know what that is.
I've had that before. Yeah, I had that when before. I was in Italy.
Jesus. Oh, yes, exactly. Ding, ding, ding.
And there's other... yeah, there we go. Stay with us. And there's other things, too, that happen all the time, which is like... I mentioned some of it in my own book where I talk about how... Why is it that you want to... Why do you have to be the guy who introduces someone to something? Why can't you just be the guy who enjoys the thing that they enjoy?
Why can't you have something and not talk about it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So let's slow down for
all
a second.
All right, all right.
Oh,
yeah, we're getting
because
we're getting angry at people.
Honestly,
let's drink whiskey.
That's kind of, yeah. Cheers. You'll never hear a clink because we're drinking out of plastic
cups today.
Smush.
No, I mean, honestly, that's what the show is. A lot of this is about that. It's like sharing the experiences with the bartenders, bar owners, the distillers, authors, you know, all those people in the world. So, I mean, yes, this is a safe place for it's a no judgment zone. But yeah. but at the same time,
I'm not
like,
judging, but I have an opinion.
Well, sure, yeah, absolutely.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is I think
you don't need to announce it to the whole bar.
Types of people that have sort of paralyzed the average drinker to the point where they're terrified to go into a bar. They're terrified to order the wrong thing. They're terrified to look dumb.
Well, that's been going on for the last decade, pretty much.
The thing they want. Yeah, for the past decade. And that's the point of this book is to say, you don't have to be scared. Here's some insider info. You know, I know what I'm talking about. Now you have it, and go. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound like I'm judging anybody. And by the way, as I said before, I want you to enjoy what you got. And if enjoying what you got means boasting it out to the bar, I guess that I'll have to swallow that pill.
Eh, I don't know. within my right to.
Yeah, but would you rather?
I might shut you down in ways, you know, subtly. I might walk over and be like.
Would you rather? Would you rather have a boastful customer who actually kind of knows what they're talking about? They're just kind of like delivering it in the wrong way.
Yeah.
Or someone who doesn't know what they're talking about and just like producing a bunch of lies about some bullshit to impress whatever guest they're with.
I would just rather have a bar full of like kind, respectful people that
wasn't
respectful.
Part of it. That wasn't part of it.
Each other.
Not one of your options.
Have you ever played Would You Rather? Apparently not.
Not one of your options. Yeah, I guess I'd rather have
a more informed person, even if they're talking. And like also like we live in New York, so everyone speaks very loudly here. Yeah. So like we're pretty much used to that.
Yeah. Preconditioned,
but I mean, I guess it's kind of annoying, but
I don't mind. I want my bar full of people. That's what I want.
I was talking about this yesterday with Wondrich. You know, we were talking about this
Dave Wondrich,
this phenomena that's like within the past 10-15 years where like people used to go, you know, we were all bartending back then. People used to go to a bar and talk about music or sports or news or whatever. And now people go to a bar and talk about bartending.
Yeah,
and
it's
cocktails.
Become strange. I've noticed the shift is very much people used to go to bars and hang out with each other, and now they go to the bar and hang out with me.
Yeah, and it's
and
tough.
I often
it's a little draining because
it's very
like
draining.
You know, I tend bar because I like tending bar, but I don't necessarily want to talk about tending bar while I'm tending bar for 10 hours. Like
it's like wearing the Metallica shirt
Metallica T-shirt and talking about Metallica all the time. Yeah,
and going to the concert.
Yeah,
let's talk about Metallica.
Wear an AC/DC shirt and then talk about something else.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Yeah, show that you're a varied human
well-rounded
being
by person.
Being a varied human being.
It's tough. It's tough, and it does kind of suck the life out of you. You know, when I get people in the bar that wanna just like kind of talk about stuff, fun music. I love it when people come in and talk about
yeah,
music.
That's gone. You know, I remember when I was bartending, I would every single day on the way in, I would buy the three papers of note, mm-hmm. the Times, the Post, and the Journal, and I would brush through them as quick as I could through. Set up, and then my guests would come in, and I'd have them on the bar, and my guests would flip through the papers, and we would talk about everything.
My first
politics,
bar, we would
sports,
watch
finances,
Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy with the sound on,
yes.
and enjoy that. That was a lot of fun.
Right.
We're gonna wear out that bell today, man.
Yeah man. So yeah, the drinking culture has certainly shifted tremendously, and so you wrote a book in an effort to destigmatize some of that stuff.
Yeah, totally, and sort of help people become less paralyzed by the fear of doing or saying or thinking. You know, there's a whole section in there on can you use your phone at the bar? There are a lot of articles out there. There are a lot of people that are saying, like, smartphones have killed the art of conversation. You know, phones should not be allowed in bar. I've been to bars where they've asked me to put my phone away when mm-hmm. I'm sitting at the bar. I have been to bars where they take your phone away before you go in. And there's a lot of like, and I get people asking me at the bar all the time, is it okay if I pull out my phone? And I go, of course it's okay if you pull out your phone. It's 2018.
It's not okay if you pull out my phone.
Yeah, exactly. It's 2018. It's a, you know, that's our world. That's, you know,
that's
of course you can use your phone. Like, what are you doing with your phone? Are you sitting there? Okay, are you watching videos really loudly on your phone?
I'll stop
you can't do that. No, that sucks. Are you sitting there reading? I don't care if you're reading a book or a phone or a magazine or a newspaper, as long as it's not like
some Instagees
fucking penthouse, you know, like
Playboy's okay
at the bar. Yeah, Playboy's fine. Playboy's fine as long as it's one of my pieces. Yeah. but yeah, that's the kind of fear that I see people sort of paralyzed by, is things like that. Is it okay to use your phone in a bar? Yes, it is okay to use your phone in a bar. You can use your computer at a bar if you're not taking up too much space, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And also if you're not blinding the other guests with
sure,
your
if that's
phone
kosher with
your flat. Yeah, be respectful. Know how to use a phone. I mean, that's basic shit, you know? Like, there are no specific rules to using a phone in a bar any more than there are using a phone in a subway or McDonald's.
Yeah, as long as it's kosher with the space that you're in. I totally agree.
Yeah.
Like, if I went to that place there where they took my phone on the way in, I'd be like, okay, that's what they do here.
Yeah.
Like, I'll go with the rules. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You know what? Honestly, like, I'm terrified of checking my emails. So, like, I would rather someone take my phone away.
You relish not having it, yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me about this bar. Where is this?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm weirdly kind of into that notion. Like, I would be okay with going to a space where they're like, okay, we're going to take away your connection to the rest of the world for the time you're here. You get to lose yourself and be immersed. If that's their shtick. If they're just a dive bar that's taking my phone just to take my phone, I'd be like, fuck this place. Right.
So what if it's a fancy bar and they want to take your phone? That's fine. But if it's a bar that you think
I don't even mean fancy,
nice,
like if it's a dive bar and they want to take my phone because that's the thing they do in there, then that's the thing they do. Yeah. They want you to engage with the people around them and the things that they've set up for you.
Is that really a bar anymore, or is that just sort of like an immersive entertainment experience? Is that really a bar?
Here's how I always say it. Damon's heard me say this before. Whenever I get to this sort of crux of an argument about what is and isn't a bar, I revert it back to restaurants because I was a chef for so long. And I say, listen, we can talk about this over lunch. I'm feeling fish. We can go to McDonald's or La Bernardin. They both serve fish.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a wide range of what bars are.
Yeah.
There's a wide range of restaurants. There's a wide range of fucking shoe stores.
Yeah.
Right? So you got to get on board with whatever that bar is offering, I think.
Yeah. I would probably just turn around and leave.
Well, again. I might too. I might turn on my heel and be like, I got to look at my stupid phone right now.
I don't think I want to be in a bar that takes everybody's phones away. It just feels weird.
Well, I mean,
I'm gonna pour some more whiskey while we talk.
Enjoy.
You should. No, I mean, like, for instance, okay, the last bar that I ran to the bar that I own now, Prime Meats, they actually had a cell phone scrambler.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And they didn't give out a Wi-Fi password. And the reason why is they were like, well, we don't have Wi-Fi.
We have the bandwidth.
They don't have bandwidth for it, and they would. Back in the day, they would blame the fact that there was no signal in there on the fact that it was old school, like tin ceilings.
I can actually get behind that sort of.
And you the know, thing
that's
is,
a real subtle way of doing that without saying, like, "Hey, you're an asshole for wanting to bring your phone in here. Give it to me."
And I mean, that's the thing. You have to back it up with some reason, or you have to be just straight up, like, "Hey, man, just." But Okay, so I'll get back to that in a second. So then at my bar, I actually don't have the bandwidth for Wi-Fi, but I don't care. I mean, people are on their cell phones all the time. It's like one of the most successful Tinder, Bumble date places ever. And
right.
I've seen people be on multiple dates throughout the evening at the bar. Now going back to the I think
you touched a hot button with this phone thing, man.
But no, it is.
Is that a big chapter?
My phone doesn't have buttons, so
I think a lot of this is predicated on the idea that you're going to use your phone to connect to the outside world and not pay attention to what's going on around you.
Right.
And say you and I are going together and to a bar together, and you want to show me a picture of your kid.
Sure.
You know, and it's on your phone.
I mean, I would like to see pictures of my kid. You got to prove it to me that I have a kid.
No, I know. But yeah, I realized I was up shit creek with both of you, but and also me. I don't have kids. But you know what I mean? What if you wanted to show me a picture of something that was really important to you?
Yeah,
sure. We can't look at it.
If I wanted to show you a picture of my dick, I wouldn't be able to do that. Is that what you're saying?
We'd have to go into the bathroom and
well, then you can see the real thing.
That's the live version.
Okay, anyway. So going back to let's get back to the real thing. True, I think Jesus fucking Christ. So I think that I tell my bartenders all the time, I tell other bartenders when I'm doing training and stuff like this, it's your job to get people, especially nowadays when everyone is on their cell phone. I was on the subway earlier, everyone's on their cell phone.
Who cares?
Who cares? But at the same time, when you're talking about what is a real bar, it's that is your job as a bartender to connect people together. That person sitting next to this person, you're like, hey. Especially if they're regulars, you're like, hey, so-and-so, meet so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. And then also, as a bartender, just a little, insider stuff, it's that actually buys you a little time instead of, everyone being, really jaggedly ordering from you. You can be like, all right, you two meet, start a conversation. It's like, oh, yeah, do you know these guys?
You start creating a smoother atmosphere.
Yeah. And then they all order around at the same time. You're like, boom, all right, now this is going. Keeps your customers engaged with the bar and with each other. It makes you a better bartender and host.
But that has little to do with the device. They could be reading a book or the newspaper or whatever.
The device doesn't have anything.
Not everyone writes a whole book on their phone.
Truth.
I know one person. He's sitting right across the table from me.
Well, you know, we all have our thing.
It's not me.
Okay, we should take a quick break to hear from our sponsors while we sip on some of the Sexton Irish Whiskey.
Yeah.
Let's hear from some sponsors. We'll come right back with Jeffrey Morgenthaler and talk more about his book, Drinking Distilled, A User's Manual. This episode is brought to you by V. Sexton Single Malt Irish Whiskey, a new and unexpected modern malt for the everyman and woman.
Indeed. This whiskey is made from 100% Irish malt barley, triple distilled for smoothness in copper pot stills, which, come on, should always be copper pot stills, and consciously aged for 4 years in Oloroso sherry butts, allowing maximum impact for the wine while controlling the level of oak flavor before it becomes too overpowering. Super smooth.
By the way, it's quite delicious. We're sipping on it right now.
Yeah.
The result is an approachable Irish single malt, perfectly balanced with a smooth finish that will leave you wanting more. We got a bottle here at the Speakeasy Studio Bar, and I just poured us some at the top of the show and actually during the middle of the show, and it is quite delicious.
I actually carry it in my bar. It's newer to the market. I really like it. It's cool. You know me, I'm a sucker for design. So
yeah, I've never even seen this bottle. It's really gorgeous.
It's really cool. To me, it's a very rich but still smooth Irish whiskey. I don't know. Is this your first time having it?
It is. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And I can definitely pick up on the sherry notes. It's very prevalent.
I mean,
a little nutty Oloroso finish.
The cool thing for me is that Irish whiskeys are starting to come into play in the whiskey community, where it's not necessarily it used to be we're just slamming a bunch of Irish whiskey. Now this is a whiskey that you sit and sip or use in a cocktail. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gentle wood, honey, has a long fade. It's delicious. I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, man. So next time you're hanging out, if you're at your favorite bar and you see a bottle, or even if you don't see it, maybe just ask for it. And apparently it's the best-selling Irish single malt in North America, so you can definitely keep that in your...
Yeah, feel your, confident when ordering. Yeah. Feel confident when ordering The Sexton. So you can go to thesexton.com. The Sexton Single Malt Irish Whiskey. Cheers, guys. Launch.
All right, we are back.
We are back.
You're listening to The Speakeasy on Heritage Radio Network. And we're talking with our good buddy, Jeffrey Morgenthaler. We just rambled on about a lot of cool stuff.
But you know what? Talk.
Yeah, we're off of that.
But you know what? Okay, that's the cool thing about
swipe left.
Your blog and the two books you've written, and this is what we do on this show when we talk shop, you know? Mm-hmm. And I mean, I know that I always tell people when we're talking shop, one of my favorite passages in entries in your blog was about bar tools for your feet.
And
that was a really fun one. I think it got hundreds and hundreds of replies.
A lot of comments.
And it was really cool because it was like, what do you wear behind the bar on your feet? You know, the thing is like when we get into the minutiae of how long should you shake a cocktail or have a bar spoon with a thermometer on the end of it and this is stuff that really this becomes kind really of redundant matters, yeah. And it's like none of this but
that
like
was, that but, was one of my favorite posts because every single person that commented on it had some helpful advice and really wanted to share their experience of another brand or a different style of dance go that they like or whatever. Everybody was pitching in to help other people, and you don't get that with the bar spoon and the ice articles because it just inflames arguments on the internet these days. You know, if you're stirring for more than 11 seconds, you're fucking bullshit, man. You know, and it's you can't put anything on the internet right now and not have people
detractors,
just get outraged that you would shake a Negroni for 5 seconds.
Let's talk about that some. You're on the internet a lot. You've had your blog. You've had your blog for a decade. We just talked about that.
15 years.
And a half. How do you? You want to take a picture of this woman's food? I can see you looking at it.
God, it's that burger looks amazing. It's a
great. Roberta's has a great burger.
Holy moly!
And it's super, super awesome.
Yeah.
that's their commercial.
Very awesome.
Yes. Surely you get some negative comments on some of the stuff you post.
Oh, yeah.
And how do you deal with that? Do you erase them?
No.
You can erase it if it's on the internet.
No, on my blog. Yeah. No, I don't delete anything unless it's overtly. I get some racist comments on there.
Oh, sure.
And those don't make it. You know, you're not helping. And people will say, I always welcome an opposing view on something. I don't write anything about anything that controversial. It's like, I like margaritas. Here's a margarita recipe. And somebody will write in and say, your recipe sucks.
Your margarita is racist.
And your recipe sucks. And I'll I'll leave that up because whatever, I don't care.
You don't get your ego bruised too much.
Speaking of extra fancy before, you and I both share a quote. There's three quotes on the back of their t-shirt.
Yeah.
One is...
yours is, it says, relentlessly fun. That's Damon Volte. Just two words.
Yeah. And yours,
mine says, best neighborhood bar, not in your neighborhood.
And then the third one is someone on Yelp.
It says Kiki Yelper. I guess it was good. I'd go back if I was hungry.
Yeah, I guess it's fine. And they printed that on their shirt. Amazing. Yeah.
So you take the detractor and you make it funny.
Yeah, totally.
When you have I love the fact that you keep stuff like that up. It's you gotta kind of laugh.
Well, I try not to go down a hole and really read a lot of those things. I made a mistake a couple years ago reading the comments on my YouTube videos, and people are YouTube is disgusting.
Brutal.
People are gross.
Now I want to go look. I've seen your videos. Really, they're very cool. They're kind of stylized. They're black and white, right?
Yeah.
They kind of got weird camera angles
they're
and stuff.
They're meant to be fun and not just me standing behind a desk going
today
we're
noir.
We're gonna make a margarita.
Well, the first one you posted, right? Or one of the first.
That was a recent one. Yeah, how to make a cocktail video. Yeah.
It was first, stand behind the bar. Second, say. It was really hilarious.
Today we're gonna make a Manhattan. A Manhattan is a whiskey drink with vermouth. We're gonna take 2 ounces of.
We all the time.
They're all the same.
Next we'll take our whiskey and we'll add our vermouth. Sobering, which sounds like sobering.
They are sobering.
So do you have any, I'm going to try and relate to you on the level of having written a book, though mine's not out yet, so I don't have any empirical evidence yet. But one of the things that terrifies me about the book is it's a fucking book. It's done. do you have from your previous book or even in this book, do you have anything in there that you're like, shit, that's a mistake, and people
always
are going to call me out on
always.
That shit?
I mean, I essentially have an art degree. You know, I have a degree in interior architecture from University of Oregon.
And I had no idea. This guy's a design degree.
Yeah. So, so Damon can relate to this. Like, when you put something out, anything, whether it's my handwriting of the whiskey list on our wall at Clyde Common or a book or an article, all I see when I look at it is our imperfections.
Yeah, totally.
And that will never go away. So you just have to, learn to deal with it. You know, I mean, it'll keep you up at night if you don't sort of come to a place where you can accept it. You know, I mean, I have so many things I could stress about just with the two books, much less everything else in my life. You know,
right? I mean, I ran into Dale DeGroff the other day, and I was like, kind of asking him sort of the same question, and I was like, I looked inside of your book, and I see that it's on its 14th printing.
Yeah.
And I was like, what about, are there any mistakes in there? He goes, oh, there's so many mistakes in there. He goes, I wish I could change them. He goes, things that have just changed over time, and also some mistakes that were in there from the very beginning.
Yep.
But second edition isn't coming around, so it's just out there in perpetuity.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God damn it, that didn't help me at all.
My favorite people are, like, flawed people. And, you know, that's, well, I mean, like, imperfections, what is perfect anyway? I mean, like, people are, it's unique. Let's say it's unique, you know, it's character. I mean, think about, like, we're drinking whiskey right now. Where does all the flavor come from? Congeners, which is basically the kind of, like,
flavor molecules.
Yeah, the bullshit that's still in there from trying to get it out.
Yeah, yeah, totally. So, yeah, I don't worry about it too much, you know. It's like, you know, I mean, and when you're as close to perfect as I am,
yes,
you know,
it's just pretty fucking close, Icarus, flying right up next to the sun. You have to be confident in the knowledge that you have and the experience that you have and the fact that you've done your due diligence and you did your ever loving best to make sure that it's not riddled with mistakes.
Yeah.
That's that sound.
That's the sound of Damon. Do you have a
chunk of the book, the new book that you're the most proud of, that you think people are resonating with the most? I mean, it's only been out for a short time, so you don't have a whole lot of evidence yet, but
yeah, I think the one that was kind of the most fun to write was like the gendered drinking stuff. You know, we were talking about that earlier about like the sort of like whiskey alpha and the pink drinks and the
Damon had a whole menu at Grand Army that was all pink.
Yeah, he was telling me about it.
And the current menu over there is My Little Pony.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just this idea.
You also talk about stemware in the glass.
Stemware, yeah. This idea that like certain drinks or certain drink vessels are for men and others are for women is just so tired. It's like, what year do you think it is? You know, there's not a woman's glass.
Yeah.
You know, like there's not a man's glass. It's just, there's just glasses, you know, like. So that was really fun to write and kind of try to turn that on its head a little bit. You know, I did a piece for.
How often does that come? I mean, you guys have more experience with this than I do because we don't have stemware at Amore. But like, how often does that present itself?
Oh, I mean, you know, it depends on what day of the week it is, right?
Yeah, more often
you get
than it should.
Closer to the weekend. You know?
Well, that's the answer. More often than it should.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think. Every bartender has heard this, you know, like, hey, can you give it to me? Give it to me in a rocks glass. That's a woman's glass. Or like, or the other one is even, you know, you'll get this from women too. It's just like, can you put it in a, can you put it in another glass? Like, I'll just spill that everywhere.
Yeah. I read that part of your book where you're like, if you're old enough to be in a bar, you're old enough to handle a drink and not spill it.
You should learn how to handle a stemmed glass.
In life,
like
in
by college, you should know how to handle a glass, like an adult. Like there aren't rules for men and women, but there are rules for like babies and adults. And if you can't like hold a wine glass without spilling the wine everywhere, you should go home and practice before, you know, it's like there's just like those things. You should know how to tie your own shoes. Like a guy should know how to tie a tie. Like there are certain things that you should know how to do as a person.
Sure. If you're going to be out in public,
there's a human being out in public with everybody else. And this, you know, this idea that like, it's okay to be, I mean, this gets into a much larger conversation, but this idea that it's okay to be completely fucking ignorant about certain basic things and that, you don't have is just like, you know,
rules of general sociability, not just etiquette.
Yeah, know how to hold a fucking
glass.
You
may or may not know the right fork, but you can watch everybody and figure it out.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well, you should also know how to use a steak knife and a fork.
Exactly.
You know, you should you don't pick it up and eat with your hands.
Like, I mean, unless you're, you know, like at the right party, you know.
Right.
If you're like at a beefsteak party, yeah. Like, anyway, but yeah,
the
you're
stab
right.
and saw that I hate where you see someone.
Like, there's
a piece of meat.
That, yeah, yeah.
Reading that part of the book reminded me. There's a book called like the very first bar that I ever worked in. There was this weird book in there, like small book. It's called 30 Things to Know How to Do Before You Turn 30, and or by the time you turn 30 or something like that. And one of them was like how to fold a fitted sheet.
Yeah. Like, that's great.
Yeah. Things like you should know how to do your own fucking laundry, and you should you should know how to drink a glass of wine out of a you should know how to open a wine bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah, without being completely clumsy.
Yeah. Yeah, and sure, it's well within your right. You don't you know, you're not required, but it's well within our right to totally make fun of you for looking like a dickhead.
There we go.
You know?
So that's the rope. Again, not judging, but totally making
we're totally
fun of you.
Totally judging.
I'm just going to make
totally
fun of you. There's a difference.
We're not judging you for drinking a pink drink as a man.
No.
Because that would be a stupid thing to judge somebody for.
Yeah.
But the other thing about it is like the one that comes up all the time. I immediately like think about from reading your book and like just talking to you about these kinds of things. It's always like the BuzzFeed articles where it's like what not to do in a bar.
Yeah, yeah, and it's always written by some like grizzled. Tipping. Well, yeah, it's always written by some grizzled, shitty bartender who's like, pay with cash and don't forget to tip. You know, it's not a dollar a drink anymore. It's always shitty articles like that.
Right.
So I didn't do any of that kind of stuff in this book because, like, that's first of all, that's not helpful. That's also paralyzing people.
We can get that stuff on your blog.
You know,
right?
No, I get people and they go, "Is it okay? I'm sorry, I only have a card." Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, you read some BuzzFeed article that said you have to pay with cash. You don't pay with cash.
I mean, I'd rather touch your credit card than a bunch of dirty cash that's been like all
over. Whatever you want.
I still love cash. Sure. I'm going to love cash till the day I die.
I feel like that's Jay Zimmerman.
As you wear a Johnny Cash shirt.
Where is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, there he is.
Come on. We'll wave him in.
Yeah.
He gave us a signal that he's getting a beer and then he's going to come in.
Okay. Cool.
He's been on the show not too long ago.
Yeah.
So you're here in New York City because you're going to do you did Seth Meyers last night. Let's talk about that.
I was on Seth Meyers.
That's
oh my
amazing.
God.
This
my
must publisher. Be such a letdown after that.
Such a letdown.
You should have done this first.
This is so horrible. Yeah. It's been such a roller coaster ride because I did Wondrich and then I did Seth Meyers and now I'm doing you guys. It's like, am I high? Am I low? Like, what is going on?
Yeah. No,
definitely low
now.
This is the bottom.
Time to leave New York.
Yeah.
And then like Jay Zimmerman's going to come here and just be gross.
He's packing a beer for everybody.
Yeah. Oh, good. Oh, this because he's a great bartender.
What not
to do?
Anyway.
Don't bring a bunch of beers.
I mean, experience of a lifetime. Like, I've never done anything like that before. You know, I was really nervous.
I can barely tell. That's a bunch of bullshit. Watch the clip. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
I'll post a link on our Instagram.
It's crazy, man. Like, I still am... You know, I've done a lot of stuff in my career. I've had a lot of like crazy, cool experiences. But like, you know, that's something like that's nobody, not everybody gets to go on national TV.
Well, not only national TV, but like an iconic show.
The late,
Seth
late
Myers,
night.
Man.
Yeah, man. It's like the late night's been around since like the 80s. And it's such a great show and always has been such a great show. And it's just like, you know, the fact that they would even want me to come on there and make drinks and goof around. It's like. You know, I always think that like, okay, this is the last thing that I get to do something cool. And then they're going to send me back to Eugene and maybe work in a sports bar. And then something else happens. And I'm like, God damn it. Really?
It's very cool.
Yeah, it was really neat. So it was super fun. Everybody there was really, really nice. Really fun to work with. Seth was amazing. You just feel so like calm when you're there, you know, you're like in the hands of a professional, you know,
sure.
You're just like, I got this. But yeah, I was freaking out for a couple of weeks. I was really like, it's all I could think about was like running that through my mind. Like,
yeah. How long did you know? Was it like, have you sat on this for a couple of weeks?
Like maybe 3 weeks. Oof.
Yeah. That's
or
a,
so.
That's, that
yeah.
builds the tension.
Yeah. That's a long time.
Did you like make sure to watch every night for the last 3 weeks?
Oh no. I've watched every single cocktail segment on late night TV, no matter what show on YouTube that exists. I binged watch. I watched all of them.
Getting ready to getting yourself psyched
up. Yeah, completely. I didn't want to screw that up.
Do you think that helped or hurt? Because you definitely dropped the ball.
What? Oh, I forgot to make the coffee.
You forgot to make the coffee.
But
you got
saved
the thing
it.
Lit on fire. Hey, listen. No spoilers, but he lit something on fire.
Yeah.
On TV.
Flaming
on
coffee
TV.
Drink.
Yeah. On live TV.
Live TV.
Well, you know, live-ish.
Yeah. Did a flaming coffee drink from Portland. That's like not one of my drinks also.
Right.
Which I thought, you know, was like a little bit of a departure because usually you go on, you're like, you see a mixologist go on there and it's like, oh, this is our drink from our thing. And I was like, oh, we're going to do this drink from the 70s in Portland that nobody's ever heard of. So that was, you know, that had its own set of challenges. Plus, it was on fire. And
well, would that be like, well, dude, so many challenges. One, you were like already on the show doing the thing. Two, setting stuff on fire. But then, like, it's one thing to like represent like your own like back catalog of your cocktails.
At, to represent
your bar,
a somewhat iconic cocktail of your town. Yeah.
Yeah.
And to give the host, who's not a bartender, something that's on
fire
and make him fiddle with it for a considerable amount of time.
You can see where he splashes some of the flaming 151 onto the countertop and kind of jumps back a little bit. And I take my bare hand and just kind of like wipe it off, like to wipe the fire on my pants.
Yeah, smart.
Yeah. I mean, also, I've made that drink 1,000 times.
Sure.
Like, I know what's
you a wizard.
Know. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a long ago on local news channel in North Carolina when I lived down there. I got to be on TV, and I'm making something on one of those cassette burners, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm making the thing, and I put my towel down, and I turn to do something
No, my towel
is close enough to the flames that it catches on fire.
No.
So I just casually, like, drop the towel on the floor and step on it while I'm keeping
completely.
On talking.
Yeah,
like,
completely.
You just got to live. It was live news clip. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, so that was a really...
Fire. Always the fun thing to bring to the live thing.
Yeah. It was a really fun experience.
That's amazing.
I got to have it. I'm super lucky.
And that... You know? That only sort of helps to elevate our profession as a profession. You know, we're getting further and further away from the notion that this is just what you do to get through college or pay for, pay for a new car or whatever.
I think we're well past that now.
I think it's
accepted that people could be,
that this is a career.
I think we made it.
Yeah, we finally...
All of us, like, you know, everyone in this room and all of the great folks that are out there.
And Jay, who's just joining us in the studio with beer.
Yeah, who...
Say hello, Jay. Say hello to the nice people.
Hi, Jeffrey.
I was at your bar last night getting pretty liquored up with Eric Castro, who's also in town.
I got sent pictures. I had no idea you guys were there.
It wasn't planned.
Thanks for this beer, Jay.
Basic isn't always planned. We went over there because Eric wanted a hot dog, and he was sorely disappointed that it was Taco Tuesday, and you only do tacos. He's from San Diego.
San Diego.
He's like, I get all the tacos I want.
Brooklyn
I want a hot dog. Yeah.
Brooklyn tacos. Yeah.
That's his fault for not doing research.
That's right.
Yeah, seriously.
Be more diligent, Castro.
Called Google room. Dipshit. Use it.
Yeah. Google it.
High five.
Take that,
Google
Castro.
That for you. So you're in town to do all these things to promote your book.
Yeah.
And tonight you're doing more promotion. You're going to be
more promotion. I'm going to be at Boilermaker with Eric Castro.
With Eric, yes.
And Campari's is we've got some delicious Campari portfolio drinks.
Cool.
That people will be sipping on. And I'll be signing some books for the four people that come and want their book signed. And two of you, three of you, and I'll sign one for myself.
I'll escort you over there, but I got to go to work.
Okay.
But it's really close to my bar.
Yeah.
So you'll be at Boilermaker from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. tonight. So if you're listening...
5 to 7,
sorry,
I believe.
Sorry, 5? Is it 5?
Yeah, 5 to 7.
Sorry.
Yep.
2 hours. That's a lot of work for you.
I always get you know, people are like...
You're going to need a massage
after that. Yeah. I do work 40 hours a week behind the bar.
Of all the famous bartenders that we know, he is not the person.
Yeah. I'm not the guy that doesn't work.
Yeah.
I mean, people that come into the bar all the time, they're like, oh, I can't believe you're here, man. I'm like, my staff comes over and they're like, he's here all the fucking time. Shut up.
Exactly, right? Like, people are shocked that I'm there too. It's it's almost bothersome. But
who do you think I am?
I'm not going to name any names.
Yeah, right.
Stop looking at me like that, Jake.
Yeah, who do you think I am? Eric Castro? Bazing.
Zing.
But do go to Play Provisions in San Diego whenever you're around.
Absolutely. They are polite as fuck. He's also part owner of Boilermaker, and that's why he's here to celebrate you and to celebrate your book and do a nice event tonight. So if you're listening live and you're in New York City, please get yourself over to Boilermaker. It's at the corner of First and First in Lower East Side, just around the corner from my bar.
I'll write that down.
Yeah. First and First, the Nexus. Where else can we get your book? Let's plug you. We're coming up to the end.
Everywhere
of the show.
Books are sold. You everywhere can get a cocktail. Books are sold. Yeah, where fine books are sold. You can get cocktailkingdom.com.
Oh, nice.
You can get it on Amazon.com. You can get it from your local bookseller, independent bookseller. If they don't have it, just ask them to order it. That's Drinking Distilled, a User's Manual by Jeffrey Morgenthaler. Yeah, you can get it anywhere.
Yeah, it'll be on the shelves at Amore Amargo soon.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, of course. Always happy to support. Was really happy to support your last book as well, which
I really appreciate it.
A great. Did you mean for the first one to be a reference guide? It's a reference book. You wrote a reference book.
You know what? It's funny. I don't get to talk about the first book enough anymore. My intention with the first book was for it to be sort of a follow up or sequel to The Joy of Mixology.
Oh.
Which I think is one of the greatest bartending books ever written.
Yeah.
And so I wanted it to be that if I could hand any one of my bartenders those two books, and that like 90% of all of the information about making drinks would be in those two books.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because
I think Gary really got it right.
Absolutely.
With Joy Mixology, way ahead of its time.
Mm-hmm.
And still just, the book that I reach for people that are looking to get started on this stuff.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
Do you have any, plug your social media, plug your blog?
@ Jeff Morgen, G-E-N, on Instagram and Twitter. I deleted Facebook several years ago and have never been happier.
Good for you.
Yeah, what a fucking waste of time, man. And just bad energy and just garbage. It's just full of trash.
Yep.
Yeah. So got rid of that. So don't find me on Facebook. Social media, JeffreyMorgenthaler.com. And then I'm just, I'm behind the bar at Clyde Common and Pepe Le Moco in Portland.
What nights are you on?
Monday through Thursday. I'm off weekends now, which is great.
That's cool.
For the most part. This coming weekend, I'm working Saturday brunch. So if you want to come in at 10 and have me serve you brunch, you can do that.
Wow.
I'll be just pleased as punch to be there.
Pleased as punch for brunch.
Yep.
Well, that's awesome, man. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
And thanks to special guest Jay Zimmerman for sitting in.
Yeah, Jay. Yeah.
Thanks for the beers,
thanks
bro.
Thanks for the fresh beer.
I was just coming for lunch.
He just happened to see us through the window at Roberta's. So future shows include, but aren't limited to, Will Elliott's going to be with us soon. Angus Winchester's going to come and talk about Bar Convent in Brooklyn, which you're involved in, right, with Brooklyn Gin.
Yeah, a bunch.
Kat Hamidi from D.C. is going to come up and talk to us about a vermouth that she makes down there. Lauren Myerskoff from New Orleans, Cocktail and Sons, is going to come up and talk to us about her line of syrups. Julie Reiner is going to be on the show.
Michael Neff's coming up.
Michael Neff's coming up soon. We haven't nailed down a date. Jesse Scheidlower. Do you know that guy? Jesse Scheidlower is the guy who owns Threesome Toll Booth. Mm-hmm. Which is that bar here in Brooklyn that seats two people. So it's two people and a bartender. That's why it's called Threesome Toll Booth. He also wrote a book called The F Word. He used to work for the English Oxford Dictionary, Oxford English Dictionary, and he wrote an entire book that is just defining fuck. And it's rad. And he is rad and quirky and awesome. So I'm really excited that we booked him. Plenty of great shows coming up, so stay tuned for lots of cool content. We're still cracking away at our Speakeasy Podcast Instagram, so go check out photos there. I'll also post some links to Jeff's book, as well as to the link where you can see the clip of him on Seth Meyers' show last night. So check us out on all those things.
That's perfect, man. All right, Jeff.
Thanks, guys.
Jay, thanks for being on the show today. Really cool to have
Cheers.
You. I normally just get to see you in Portland, but it's great to see you on the other coast.
I know. I don't think I've ever seen you in New York.
I don't think we've ever done this. But, how's Banjo doing?
He's great.
Nice.
I'll tell him you said hi.
Please do.
Yeah.
All the team over there is great. Pepe Le Moco.
They love
awesome.
You. Yeah. I got a great team. The best team, I think, in the world.
Yeah. Seriously.
The greatest.
You do. I guess I'll see you next time probably in Portland.
Absolutely.
Thanks again for coming on. I love the book. I'm about halfway through it now.
Thanks, man. Put it on the back of the toilet, and you can finish up in 2 days. It's a certain size for a reason, It fits on a tank.
You didn't have to tell me to do that.
Yeah.
It's already there.
I know where it's going. I know what that book's for.
I can tell you where the bar book is, too.
I don't care where you read it as long as you read it.
Yeah. It's a great book. Everyone should check it out.
Thanks.
And thanks again for being on the show. That's all we got for the Speakeasy this week. We definitely want to thank...
The Sexton.
For
special guest Jay Zimmerman.
And the Sexton Irish Whiskey for dropping off some bottles and being our buddies.
Yeah.
It's been buds. A great show. God, this is like, this is why we do this show.
Yeah, man.
Just like,
just buds hanging out. Just being buds. Just drinking buds.
Buds.
Exactly what it is.
Red and whiskey.
Red and white dynamite, whiskey, some awesome pizza from Roberta's. It's a great time here at the studio all the time. So yeah, thanks again to the Sexton Irish Single Malt Whiskey. Thanks as always to Roberta's Pizza. And of course, thanks for tuning into the Heritage Radio Network. Go to our website and click on the Beating Hearts so you can donate to keep this show and many others on air. We'll see you next time, guys. Thanks so much. Cheers.
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 So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that send. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.